Blog Talk Radio.
Hanging out with me on this fabulous Friday morning. Hope it is bright and sunny and beautiful wherever you are. It is right here in St. Louis. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Again, thank you everybody for hanging with me. TGIF, the weekend is upon us. Before I go any further, of course, I want to say a great, big, gigantic happy Mother's Day out there to all of you moms. I hope that everyone has a wonderful Mother's Day. And you know what? Call your mom. Call your mother. But so happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. Have a lovely day. Of course, as usual, we have a ton of stuff to get in today. Wow, what a week it has been. Quite eventful, to say the least. And, of course, you can call in here. The number is 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620. And, of course, the chat room, as always, is open for your convenience if you want to go that route. But, like I said, we got a ton of stuff to talk about today, so let's get into it. Of course, like I said, what an eventful week it has been. Of course, Tuesday, we had the Indiana primary. There were 57 delegates up for grabs there on the Republican side. And, of course, it was no surprise once again that actually it kind of was for me. I got to say that I really thought that Ted Cruz had a very, very good chance in Indiana. I really did. You know, I saw all of the polls and I saw all of the the film footage of, you know, when he was confronting the Trump supporters and, you know, they were saying, you're a politician, you're part of the problem and all those things. And so, you know, I kind of thought, well, yeah, okay, there's people who don't like him. There's people all over in every state during every primary that have not liked him. And that's, you know, that's politics. That's the way it is. But I really thought that he might have had a very, very good chance of taking Indiana. So, you know, I mean, as the polls came out more and more and the gap widened between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and he, you know, was clearly had a very wide margin, very wide lead, Donald Trump, you know, so it was a surprise, but it wasn't a surprise, you know, but, so Donald Trump did win the Indiana primary on Tuesday night, and well, it was a game changer. The Hoosier State was definitely a game changer, and right now, today, Donald Trump is the presumptive presidential nominee of the Republican Party, and both polls indicated prior to the primary that both front runners were going to take the primary. Of course, Donald Trump did, but not quite so on the Democrat side. Bernie Sanders kind of he pulled out a win in Indiana, and I think that was a little bit of a surprise on the Democrat side. And you know, here's the thing, on the Democrat side, that Bernie Sanders keeps winning primaries, but Hillary Clinton keeps winning delegates. How exactly does that work? You know, gee, we'd love to have someone explain that to us. But, you know, here's the thing with that, with the whole and everybody's saying, you know, if you take the whole superdelegate thing out of the equation for the Democrats, that it is a much, much closer race than is perceived with the superdelegates in there. And, you know, my question has always been, how does Bernie Sanders not know? You know, he keeps going on about the system being rigged, on and on and on. How does Bernie Sanders not know that this election has been rigged? Let's call it what it is. Has been rigged for Hillary Clinton since 2012. And how does he not know? I can't imagine that most of these people who are superdelegates, and superdelegates are the people who are, you know, they're Democrat Party big wigs. They are high up in the party apparatus. If they are not congressmen and senators themselves, they are state party chairs. They are state reps, state senators, things of that nature. People who are rising stars in the Democrat Party, who are having more and more of a voice and an influence in the Democratic Party. That's who the superdelegates are. And my thing is, how does Bernie not know that this election is rigged so that Hillary Clinton will be coronated, but how does he not know that those superdelegates, you couldn't convince me that those superdelegates have not been told to vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, Bernie has been saying that he is, you know, he's in it for the long haul. He's there to stay. Hillary, he's even said on more than one occasion, Secretary Clinton thinks I'm going away. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. And, you know, I've heard several people say, you know what, first of all, they'll tell you, first of all, I don't agree with Bernie Sanders on anything at all in the entire world. But you know what? He's honest enough to come out and say what he is. And not only that, but he's putting up a hell of a fight. Maybe he does know the whole thing's rigged. Maybe he does know that this is supposed to be eventually a coronation of Hillary Clinton. Maybe he really does know all those things, but he's given it the old college try anyway. And hey, you know what? You got to give somebody some props when they're doing that. And because he's actually doing what I think he's actually doing what a lot of young people see him doing and think that they hear him advocating, and that's questioning the system and that's going up against it. Well, you know, as far as on the Democrat side of things, I don't know. You know, I don't think that Bernie was, we all know that Bernie was never supposed to get this far. This was never supposed to be, Hillary Clinton was supposed to sail through to the nomination, and Bernie Sanders was nothing more than a, you know, a kind of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Somebody to just be there to prove that Hillary Clinton had a little bit of opposition. And then he was supposed to lose a bunch of primaries and go away. Well, that hasn't happened. He's quite the opposite. He's won a bunch of primaries. But so Bernie's not going anywhere. Bernie's hanging in there for the long haul. For delegates have been told to vote for Hillary. Vote for Hillary or else. Or you're standing within the Democrat Party. Well, it could be in question. It could be in a little bit of jeopardy. But again, on the Republican side, Donald Trump handily took this primary on Tuesday night. I have a report here from CNBC. Here, let me see if I can find any numbers here. I don't have an end with all of the precincts reporting. I don't have anything that give those numbers. But again, it was a game changer. And following the Indiana primary, Donald Trump's prime opponent, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, suspended his campaign also on Tuesday night. And that was a big blow to a lot of people. And the following day, on Wednesday, Ohio Governor John Kasich also thankfully, finally, decided that there was no clear path to him to the nomination, because the thing with John Kasich was that he was really counting on a contested convention. That was his path to victory. I think as soon as it became clear that Donald Trump was going to take Indiana, and even more clearly once Ted Cruz suspended his campaign, that kind of all bets were off for John Kasich. But again on Tuesday night, following Donald Trump's victory in Indiana, Ted Cruz suspended his campaign. And again, a lot of people are very upset. A lot of people are very angry, and a lot of people are taking those emotions out in, well, let's just say a variety of ways. One of the quotes here, I have a report here on this from Fox News, and the quote from Senator Cruz on Tuesday night said, quote, "I said I would continue on as long as there was a viable path to victory. Tonight, I'm sorry to say it, appears that path has been foreclosed." Again, and here is also very quickly going over to the other side, a quote from Senator Bernie Sanders, and his quote was, quote, "I understand that Secretary Clinton thinks that this campaign is over." And he also, he went on to say, "I have bad news for her." Well, we have races in West Virginia coming up. We have one last Super Tuesday. This is not until June the 7th. So we've got a little over a month to go when California, Montana, New Jersey, excuse me, California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota all have primaries. Now, you know, now that things are pretty much all but decided, Donald Trump has yet to reach that 1237 mark. I have a report here from Real Clear Politics, the poll numbers, as usual. Right now, the delegate count stands, Donald Trump has 1,053 delegates. There are, excuse me, there are candidates like Marco Rubio who have yet to release their delegates. So depending on things of that nature, excuse me, got a frog in my throat this morning. If and when Senator Rubio releases his delegates, if and when Ted Cruz releases him, and I have not heard anyone talking about that as yet, if and when Ted Cruz will release any and all of his delegates, which way will those delegates go? Well, they really only have one way to go at this point. They might not. Again, going back to people's emotions and reactions to all of this, that a lot of those delegates may excuse me again, a lot of those delegates may throw in the towel and decide they don't want. In a lot of states, including here in Missouri, if you have, I don't think that this is going to be the case at this point, but if you have more than one ballot, that first round of balloting, at least here in Missouri, delegates were bound to vote for Donald Trump. Then once that first round of balloting was completed, you could go on and vote for who you wanted to. And you know what? There's going to be some of that that happens. There is. And again, when we're talking about people's emotions and reactions and feelings on hearing Tuesday night that Senator Cruz did suspend his presidential campaign, all you had to do really was to spend about 5 minutes, probably not even that much, on social media to see, like I said, that people were upset, they were angry, they were disappointed. You had a whole range of emotions. And I have not, on this program, I have not stated my preference for a particular candidate throughout the primary season. I kind of took some advice from someone much better and much more experienced at this than I am. And that advice came not personally, but wouldn't that be cool? But that advice came from Rush Limbaugh, and what he has said on a number of occasions, that he did not endorse candidates during a primary season because of the because of the unpredictable nature of that, yeah, people are going to say stupid things even in the general election cycle. But when you're in a primary cycle, there, you know, you have people who drop out, they do and say things, and you don't want to really be to really be tied to one person. And so I kind of, you know, my thoughts on it were kind of, you know what, if it works for Rush, it should probably work for me. And so I have not done that. There is a lot of speculation as to whether or not the Republican Party is going to unify and come together, and they're going to unify around Donald Trump. There's a lot of people who are tired of holding their nose and voting for who they believe is the lesser of two evils. I agree with you. I am too. I held my nose and voted for John McCain. I held my nose and voted for Mitt Romney. And I'm tired of it too. But this, I can tell you what, as long I come from a political family, so I kind of watched, I've been watching politics for a long time kind of by default. And I don't think I have ever seen, and I think a lot of people would agree with me on this, I have never seen more hatred and more viciousness and more, oh my God, pick an adjective, from people on both sides of whether you are a Donald Trump supporter, whether you are a Ted Cruz supporter. The viciousness that has gone on between these two groups of people is nothing short of phenomenal. And I'll tell you what, it's like I said, I have not voiced a preference here for a candidate. And the more that this has gone on, I really couldn't, I couldn't support either one of them because of that. And it wasn't, I told a lot of people, I said, you know what? It's not because I can't support it. It's not because of the candidates, because of their supporters. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are done with the Republican Party for a variety of reasons. I will give my reason for being done with the Republican Party, and it is these two groups of supporters, these two groups of people who have done nothing but hurl insults at each other and tell each other that they are delusional, tell each other that they are mentally unhinged, mentally unbalanced, and called my husband, who is a Donald Trump supporter, was called a degenerate. When it got to that point, I was pretty much done. I was pretty much of the opinion, stick a fork in me, I'm done. Because I can't, you know, while all of these people are going on and on about principles and not sacrificing those principles and your beliefs and things like that, I really couldn't in good conscience be on any side of the fence with any of these people. It was a complete turnoff. And I don't believe for one second that I'm the only person in the country who felt that way. And in fact, I have seen that, I don't have anything exactly on it, but I have seen it in several different places, that there is a huge uptick in people's interests on not only on creating a third party. I think that's a whole nother it's a whole nother subject, but people's interests in the Libertarian Party, in the Constitution Party. I am hoping to do a Politichicks piece on this in the future. I have reached out to both parties for some statistics, but I've seen several places where both of these parties, the Libertarians and the Constitution Party, have said that they have a huge upswing in interest in their parties and their platforms. I will say I did go on the Libertarian Party website the other day, and I did read their platform. I would encourage people to do so. Go to the websites and read the party's platform, and not just the Libertarians. Go to the Constitution Party, read their platform, and just read it with an open mind. And I think that there was some things that I didn't agree with them on. But I think that's probably normal and natural. I don't think that you are going to – I don't think it's normal and natural to agree with a party or a candidate on every single thing, 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, bam, 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 right down the line. You're going to have some – maybe you're going to have some nuances in your opinions. Maybe you're just going to all out disagree. I think that's fine. But I would encourage people to do so. If you are, even if you aren't fed up with the Republicans, even if you are hanging in there for the long haul and you're going to stick it out and see what happens, are you going to see whether or not the Republican Party really has shot themselves in the foot like a lot of people think? Or, are you thinking, I think like a lot of other people have been since Tuesday this week, thinking, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to think outside of the box. Maybe it's time for me to see what else is out there. Maybe I won't like it, but at least I'm going to educate myself, and I'm going to do a little bit of reading, and I'm going to do a little bit of research. And that's kind of how I was with it. I don't know that I can call myself a Republican anymore. And it's been because of this vitriol and this viciousness between these two camps of people. And again, I don't think I'm the only person who is feeling that way. I feel pretty comfortable in saying I didn't leave the party. The party left me. And this is one of the main reasons. I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, we can talk about how the Republican Party has shot itself in the foot. And a lot of this is due to the people who are in Washington, who were elected by the very people who are ticked off right now, who have not seen a return on their voting investment, shall we say. But I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Republican Party shooting themselves in the foot. We'll talk about Hillary Clinton and how she is making a lot of friends with the coal miners in West Virginia. Yeah, all about that. We've got 45% of Americans pay no federal income tax. Did you know that? And, I've got some poll numbers, and I got a bunch of other stuff. So don't go away. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. I will be right back.
One morning in May, don't forget, dear, that one wonderful day when we met, dear.
We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me on this wonderful Friday morning. TGIF, the weekend is upon us. And, of course, a early happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there. I personally, I'm not a mom. I'm a dog mom. I think that counts. And so, you know, I will be celebrating Mother's Day with mom and being a dog mom. So for all of you other dog moms out there, yes, you do count. You are, in fact, a mom. But anyway, we are talking about presidential politics. What else? That Donald Trump is now the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party. And a lot of people have a problem with that. And in fact, I have here from the CNBC report I had on the Donald Trump winning the primary here. You know, I don't know if anybody knows this. I mean, I know people have seen the Never Trump hashtag and the and maybe Never Trump on Facebook, Twitter, you know, that kind of thing. But there is actually a Never Trump PAC.
Yes.
And this is a statement from that PAC here. It says, quote, obviously Trump's victory in Indiana makes the road ahead more challenging. A representative from the Never Trump PAC said in a Tuesday evening statement, adding that the group will continue to seek to oppose him. Well, you know, that's fine. As Americans, that is your right to support the candidate that you want to support. It's your right to go in the voting booth and write in Ted Cruz. By God, do that. God bless America. But here's the thing. I think that and Never Trump people will say, no, that's not true. I would invite you to call in here or to go into the chat room and explain to me how either not voting for Donald Trump. And again, I get the whole hold my nose thing. I get that he's not a conservative. I get the, you know, people calling him a fascist and a Nazi and all that. Quite frankly, for myself, once you go into the Nazi thing, you lose credibility for me. But so I get all that stuff. But I don't know how that you can say whether or not you just say, screw it on the whole thing, I'm just going to stay at home. How you again? I'm very interested right now in the Libertarian Party. I'm very interested in their platform, what they have to say. I'm interested in their candidates, but at the same time, on a practical level, I know that those candidates right now, today, in 2016, don't have a snowball's chance. And I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I would like to see personally. I would like to see. I don't know. We would all like to see a unified party. I don't know in what on what planet that would happen at this point. And the problem is that I find it amazing that all of the politicians, at least, and all of the pundits, talking heads who are on TV, on the internet, on the radio, whatever, that will go on and on about saying, well, I'm never in a million bazillion years going to vote for Donald Trump and he's this, he's that, he's awful, he's a monster. But I don't know, first of all, I don't know how staying at home or voting, just how is staying at home or not voting for the Republican nominee not a vote for Hillary Clinton? Because at this point, I don't know how it is not. Again, feel free to call in here and tell me how it's not or go in the chat room and explain it to me. But, you know, also a lot of people, a good friend has said to me time and again, has brought up the Supreme Court picks. And, yeah, that's hugely concerning this time around. And it's beyond essential that we get someone who is going to nominate conservatives to the Supreme Court, because we are sitting on the fence right now as far as conservatives and liberals go, and we are in a very precarious situation here. And so absolutely, I absolutely agree with that we need to we need someone who is going to put conservatives on the Supreme Court. I get that. That's hugely serious for me too. So with that thought, please tell me how Hillary Clinton is going to elect more conservatives to the Supreme Court. Is a vote for Hillary Clinton just kind of a, and you know what, I said this to my husband last night. I think, and maybe I'm it's far-fetched, maybe I'm reaching here, but I almost think at this point that there is a faction of Republicans, a faction of conservatives that will vote for Hillary Clinton to, quote, teach the rest of us who maybe say, you know what, Donald Trump's not my first choice, but you know what, I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to vote for him. It's that by voting for Hillary Clinton and really actually hoping and rooting that Hillary Clinton wins and becomes the president of the United States, that is going to somehow teach all of us in the unwashed masses, those of us who don't understand the intellectualism of all of this, that it's going to teach us a lesson. That by putting Hillary Clinton in office, that is going to teach us a lesson. Are you happy now that you all elected Donald Trump to be your nominee? Really? I mean, do you want to go that far to teach people a lesson? Do you want to put our nation in jeopardy? And yeah, I hear all of the Never Trump people saying, well, Trump's going to put our nation in jeopardy. He's dangerous. He's this, he's that. I hear all that. But I don't know on what level he is more dangerous than Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is not going to appoint conservatives to the Supreme Court. Why would anybody think that? Hillary Clinton is not going to, and I will play this for you in a minute. This is a good segue. Hillary Clinton care about that coal miner's family that he showed her a picture of in West Virginia. Hillary Clinton doesn't care about anything but advancing a liberal leftist agenda. So I'm not quite sure, again, please tell me, I'm not quite sure how Donald Trump, and if you want to think that Donald Trump is dangerous, again, God bless America, you go right ahead and you think that. But I want to know, how is Hillary Clinton less dangerous? And speaking of that, Hillary Clinton was in West Virginia this week talking to the people because, you know, well, Hillary Clinton, by God, she is a woman of the people. She feels your pain. And so she was talking to a group of West Virginia voters. And I don't know if anybody remembers from one of the Democrat debates, I believe this was back in March, when Hillary Clinton was very clear about the fact that she was going to put a bunch of coal miners and a bunch of coal companies out of business. And why does she want to do that? Well, it's because of the global warming, you know, and it's to get the United States away from fossil fuels and that whole thing. Well, you know what? I think there are a lot of conservatives who are all of the above people. Let's check into those alternatives. Let's check into wind. Let's check into solar. Let's check into fracking. Let's check into oil shale. Let's check into all of those other forms of fuel. And if it is economically viable, if it is something that makes sense to Americans, you know, let's look a little bit further. But right now, you know, if you want to turn a light on in your house, thank a coal miner. If you want to flip the heat on in your house, thank a coal miner. It's pretty amazing that she could say something like that. And, well, I'll play the clip here because it is, I think, and maybe a lot of people have heard this week, but I think this one particular clip, this contrast, it is a perfect illustration of who and what Hillary Clinton is. And I will also say that when you hear this, and I say that it is a perfect illustration of who and what Hillary Clinton is, I'll ask the question again. How is this less dangerous than a Donald Trump presidency? Let's take a listen to Hillary Clinton being a woman of the people.
The reason you hear those people out there saying some of the things that they say is because when you make comments like, we're going to put a lot of coal miners out of jobs, these are the kind of people that you're affecting. This is my family. While my hope is in God, that's my future. I want my family to know that they have a future here in this state, because this is a great state. I've lived my entire life here. West Virginians are proud people. We take pride in our faith in God. We take pride in our family, and we take pride in our jobs. We take pride in the fact that we're hard workers. I just want to know how you can say you're going to put a lot of coal miners out of jobs, and then come in here and tell us how you're going to be our friend, because those people out there don't see you as a friend.
I know that, Bo. And you know, I don't know how to explain it other than what I said was totally out of context from what I meant.
Example, I'm the only candidate which has a policy about how to bring economic opportunity using clean, renewable energy as the key into coal country, because we're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business.
So I don't know about you all, but what I heard was very clear. She very, very clearly stated, we're going to put a lot of coal miners and a lot of coal companies out of business. And she was very emphatic about it. She was very clear. And she was kind of excited about it, too. But then notice when she's talking to Bo, the coal miner there, that all of a sudden Hillary is very concerned. And she's looking at that picture of Bo's family. And truth be told, she could give a damn about Bo's family, but she's looking at that family and she's saying, I know, Bo, I hear you. I know what you're saying. And it was just taken completely out of context. Hillary Clinton looked that man in the eye and lied to him. Looked him in the eye and lied to him about his livelihood, lied to him about concern for his family, lied to him about his future as a coal miner, and lied about, well, you name it, and he lied about it. And, you know, it is a perfect illustration. Those two tones of voice of Hillary Clinton really say all you need to know about who and what she is. And social media a lot, but I've often seen a great quote by Andrea Tantaros. I know you all are familiar with Andrea Tantaros from The Five on the Fox News Channel, and she's a commentator who is on there quite a bit. And one of the things that she has said is that for someone like Hillary Clinton to look in the eye four families of men that she let die in Benghazi and didn't give one flip about it, if she can look those people, those family members, if she can look them in the eye and lie to them about how their family members died, there is nothing that she won't lie about. And I think that it's one of the best quotes I have ever seen and heard about Hillary Clinton, because it is so spot on. If you can look the family members of dead Americans that you did nothing to help, you did nothing to rescue them, to get help to them, to get them out of that situation. If you can lie to the families of those dead Americans, look them in the, not only look them in the eye and lie to them, but lie to them so smoothly and so easily, then Andrea Tantaros is absolutely spot on. There is nothing that she won't lie about. And again, we see that here in this clip here in West Virginia, with West Virginia voters. I think it's pretty obvious to most of us that there is not a lot Hillary Clinton is going to do and say what she needs to do and say in order to get elected, and that's what we're up against. I think that Donald Trump says he's going to go after her, and I think for a lot of people that is going to be quite refreshing, because I think that. Prior to now, I think that any Republican that she has been up against, and we can all remember her Senate campaign with Rick Lazio, I think that most Republican men are, excuse me, they're afraid to really go up against her and really go at her because they know she's going to play the girly card. I'm not going to call it the woman card. It's the girly card. They're just picking on me because I'm a girl. Well, you know, here's the thing, Hillary. You can't have it both ways. She wants to portray herself as this champion of women's rights and women's issues, never mind the fact that the Clinton Foundation is very far into Saudi Arabia. And we all know what Saudi Arabia's record on women's rights is. But so she wants to play the I am woman, hear me roar crowd. She's this big champion for women's issues and women's rights. But at the same time, she wants to be able to say, you're just picking on me because I'm a girl. No, Hillary, that's not how it works. You don't get it both ways. And I think that Donald Trump really and truly will go after her. He will bring up her record. He will bring up her past. He will bring up the scandals. I don't think that anything is off the table. You know what? Donald Trump is not a perfect person. He has plenty of skeletons in his closet, too, and they may come up. I'm sure they will. We've all heard of the Clinton machine. But I think for some people, it is going to be so refreshing to finally see someone on the Republican side who's not afraid of her. Because I think there's also very, very few of us who do believe that Hillary Clinton is quite beatable. She has way too much baggage, and she's very beatable. And not only that, but you know, hopefully we'll be finding out here soon, but there is that little tidbit, there is that little small minor detail of an indictment by the FBI and the Department of Justice. You know, what goes on there remains to be seen. Like I said, hopefully it will we'll hear something about that soon. But Hillary Clinton, make no mistake about it, Hillary Clinton is beatable. She's very beatable. And I would agree that her record and anything in her past is fair game. Sure, you can say the same thing for Donald Trump. Anything in his past and anything in his record is fair game. You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But, you know, there's so many young people, so many millennials who don't remember all the stuff from the Clintons in the 90s. And I think it needs to be brought back out, and we need to be reminded of all those things. And if that's what it takes, well, anyway, I do have some poll numbers here. I don't know that, you know, on the Republican side, if it's worth talking about any polls here. Again, Donald Trump, as of right now today, has 1,053 delegates. And like I said earlier, there are some delegates in question here. We have Ted Cruz's 565 delegates and John Kasich's 153. There is also delegates from Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who he has yet to release. So, you know, there's those things in play as well. But right now, nationally, Hillary Clinton is in the lead over Bernie Sanders, 50.3% to 44.5%. Hillary Clinton has a delegate count of 1,683. Bernie Sanders is at 1,362. Hillary Clinton, this was from earlier in Indiana. And, you know, here's the thing about how polls are. You know, we see all the polls that Hillary Clinton is going to beat Donald Trump. Well, here's a final poll from Indiana. Hillary Clinton, 50%, Bernie Sanders, 43%. So, you know, we can take that into account, too. But right now in West Virginia, Bernie Sanders is ahead, 51 to Hillary Clinton's 33. In New Jersey, Hillary Clinton is at 55.5, Bernie Sanders 37. And in California, Hillary Clinton is at 51 and Bernie Sanders is at 41.3. So, you know, there's the thing with polls. But anyway, I am going to take another quick break. I am going to come back and we will talk about some tax numbers and a little religious story that I found here that, well, personally, I find it a little interesting. But and of course, we have the WTF segment coming up. So don't go away. I will be right back. We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me. TGIF, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Just a few things here before we wrap it up here. This is a story I had a couple weeks ago. It is from MarketWatch. Believe it or not, there are other things going on besides presidential politics in the world. But again, this is from MarketWatch. It's from April 8th, 2018. So it's sort of old, but many Americans don't have to worry about giving Uncle Sam part of their hard-earned cash for their income taxes this year. An estimated 45.3% of American households, that's roughly 77.5 million Americans, will pay no federal individual income tax. This is according to data for the 2015 tax year from the Tax Policy Center. That is a nonpartisan Washington-based research group. It says, note that this does not necessarily mean they won't owe their state income tax. Roughly half pay no federal income tax because they have no taxable income. And the other roughly half get enough tax breaks to erase their tax liability, explains Robertson Williams, a senior fellow at the Tax Policy Center. Despite the fact that rich people paying little in the way of income taxes makes plenty of headlines, this is the exception to the rule. The top 1% of taxpayers pay a higher effective income tax rate than any other group, around 23%. That is according to a report released by the Tax Policy Center in 2014. Nearly seven times higher than those in the bottom 50%. On average, those in the bottom 40% of the income spectrum end up getting money from the government. Meanwhile, taxes forking over 87% of all the income tax collected by Uncle Sam. The top 1% of Americans who have an average income of more than $2.1 million pay 43.6% of all of the federal individual income tax in the U.S. The top 0.1%, that's 0.1, not 1%, but 0.1, 115,000 households whose average income is more than $9.4 million pay more than 20% of it. When it comes to all federal taxes, individual income, payroll, excise, corporate income, and estate taxes, the distributions of who pays what is more spread out. This is partially because nearly everyone pays excise taxes, which includes taxes on things like gasoline, alcohol, cigarettes, that kind of thing. So while the Bernie Sanders crowd is hollering for rich people to pay more, they really actually are paying more. And at what point, you know, is that top, not just the top 1%, but at one point does that top 0.1% say enough? We're tired of it. You know, what happens if they all collectively decide to just stop paying? I mean, you know, it's going to take a while for the IRS to catch up with all of them. And plus, those are the kind of people, you know, that they have the means and the wherewithal that they can put that money elsewhere other than the United States. And, you know, it's, I don't know what you're going to do, but, again, very quickly here, this is a story. I don't know. Do I have enough time to do this? It is out of the shed. It is from a website called reportingtexas.com. This was on the Drudge Report this morning. Out of the shadows, Wicca grows in Austin and beyond. And basically, I don't think I have time to get into it all. Maybe I'll save it for next week, and we'll talk about it a little bit next week. Basically, spirituality is on the rise in the U.S., and I think that says a lot about where we are in this country, not just politically with the rise of an outsider like Donald Trump, but how people are they're beginning not to be afraid to question anymore. Politics, but religion. You know, remember, those are the one things that everybody used to say. Don't talk about those things at dinner parties. Don't talk about religion and politics. But I'll save that so I can get into it a little bit more next week. This is a little teaser. And, you know, have some thoughts on that. But very quickly, before I have to get out of here. Toilet paper isn't meant to be aesthetically pleasing, but designer Kazuaki Kawahara has created fruit-themed wraps that transforms the bathroom staple into something that you might actually use as decoration. The fruit's toilet paper collection turns rolls into pieces of strawberry, kiwi, watermelon, and orange, with the ends revealing faux cross-sections of each fruit. Design Taxi shared the designs back in 2014, and since then, Kawahara's TP art has made the rounds online and earned her platinum recognition in the 2015 Pent Awards, a global packaging design competition, and the Golden A Design Award for 2016. The rolls are available via the Latana Marketing, that's L-A-T-O-N-A, Latana Marketing online store as a four-piece gift set for around $13. Currently, incidentally, right now they are sold out, or a box of 48 for $130. Moral of the story there, people, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Well, you know, maybe you want your TP to, well, you want your TP to be pretty. Anyway, that is all for me today. I am out of here a little bit early, so you can go online to conservativeradionetwork.com. You can hear a rebroadcast of Conservative Cauldron Radio at 2 p.m. Central Time today, and I believe again tomorrow, same time, same channel. That is conservativeradionetwork.com. You can find me, of course, conservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Nothing at new at the Black Sphere as yet, but hopefully something new on politichicks.com soon. So also go there, facebook.com/BeckyNoble, and of course on Twitter at Patriot Witch. Everyone have a fantastic Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, moms. And I will see you next time.